Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
In Hebrews 10, starting at verse 10, reading all the way down to verse 23. So I'm going to read from the NLT. And it reads and says this: For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the Lord day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There, I love this, he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people. On that day, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Amen. And Father, even as I get to share your word in a brief moment here, by your Spirit, speak to us with clarity, with simplicity, depth of conviction. May your word be received in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Today being our Communion Sunday, this verse came to mind as I was thinking about communion and prayer. And I asked the Lord, how do these two meet and how can I encourage us through that? And this verse ties in the whole idea of communion and prayer. For starters, communion is the reminder that the Lord told us to practice every single time as often as we could. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it. After that, he took the juice and gave thanks and said, take, drink, for this is my blood being poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The portion of scripture we just read gives us another shade to what really it means for us to put our faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when you read this portion of scripture, it clearly states for us that the sacrifice of Jesus is the all-sufficient sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins and the reconciliation of us back to God. In fact, the entire book of Hebrews is about the supremacy of Christ. His supremacy as a son, his supremacy as the ultimate prophet, his supremacy as the ultimate sacrifice, his supremacy over the house of God. And because of that, the writer and the author of Hebrews is encouraging his listeners to pay careful attention to the son. And so I bring the same thought to you today. That later on when we come to share in the table of the Lord, please be reminded of this. There is no other means for the forgiveness of your sins except through the blood of Jesus. And this is what we need to understand, because sometimes we talk about sins and forgiveness of our sins and we don't have the backdrop of it. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were sent out of the presence of God. What sin does is it separates us from God. It brings enmity between us and God. Sin causes friction between you and I, but also you and God. And there was no option for us except that God would come himself to save us. The blood of bulls and goats was imperfect. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. It was just an annual reminder of our weakness and of our failure to sin. But thanks be to God, when Christ came, he was the perfect and only sacrifice that anyone ever needed. In fact, for him, he offered his own body. On his body were put the scars of your punishment and my punishment. On his body are the bruises of the effects of our sin. On his body, you can find the scars of the ugliness and the filthiness of sin. But he did it because he loves you. You see, God's desire ever since he created mankind was that mankind would walk with him in relationship. So he didn't give up on us. He sent Jesus. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, 13, 14 tells us that we were without hope because we did not know God. We did not have the covenants. We did not have the promises. The Jews, on the other hand, had all that. And they had the privilege. But now through Christ Jesus, both Jews and non-Jews have the privilege of knowing God and having hope for eternal life. And that's what communion reminds us of. But the second thing I want to share about communion today is really where I want to lead us to at a later point today. And that is to pray. Communion is a reminder that you and I have direct access to the presence of God. Read with me verse 19. It says, "So brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy" what? "Place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting in him." In the ESV, it says, "with the full assurance of faith." You see, the early church understood this principle so well. The early church knew that they had direct access to God. And therefore, for them, prayer was not an option. Prayer was a way of life. They anchored their entire life in prayer. I want you to walk away today with this similar understanding that you should anchor yourself in what? Prayer. Because prayer is your lifeblood. Prayer is your expression of your dependence on God. Prayer is your expression of devotion to God. Prayer is the place where you can access the very presence and the person of Jesus. You can walk straight into his presence. Let me give you the imagery so that you better understand it. In the Old Testament, when Moses was asked to build the tabernacle of God, it had three parts. It had the outer court. That's where the animals were slaughtered and blood was poured on some of the, there was another altar right there, I think a brazen altar right there. And then they had the inner court, which was now called the holy place. And the priests would go there and minister to the Lord in that place. And then they had the most holy place where the ark of the Lord was placed. And that ark represented God, all right? It represented the presence of God. That most holy place could only be accessed once every year by the high priest, who had to offer a sacrifice for himself before he even went in to meet the Lord. That means you and I could not approach God because of our sins. But the disciples got to understand this. And that's why verse 18 says, "Where there is forgiveness of sins, there's no more need to sacrifice. Therefore, you can come." Listen to my friends. When you have faith in Jesus, your sins are forgiven and direct access is granted to you into the most holy place. When Jesus hung on the cross, the gospel tells us when he breathed his last breath, there was an earthquake and the curtain was torn from top to bottom. Therefore, now, not only does the high priest go in, but anyone who has faith in Jesus can walk into the presence of God. And the early church understood this. So they anchored themselves in prayer. Can I invite you today not to make prayer a schedule? You need to schedule time to pray, but make prayer a lifestyle. I want to share with you four things from the book of Acts that the early church experienced because they anchored themselves in prayer. Four things. It's going to be rapid, so follow along. Four things. Because they anchored themselves in prayer, the early church were fueled in their devotion by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to the place when they were praying. I wanted to see this. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells them, go wait for the promise. They didn't go, wait, cross their legs, drink, sip, juice, what, whatever, eat meat, say, ah, Holy Spirit's going to do his work. No. The Bible says in verse 14 of Acts chapter 1, and they devoted themselves to prayer. It was in the place of prayer that they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, because of their waiting on the Lord, when the Holy Spirit came, he fueled that hunger. He fueled that desire to know God. And when you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they were devoted to the teachings of the apostles, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? Prayer. Do you want to remain in a place where you're connected with God? Prayer is one area you must work on every day. Oh, Pastor, I don't feel God anymore. God is very far. Yes, because he's trying to help you draw closer to him. Can I encourage you? Stop looking for the feeling of prayer and remain in the discipline of prayer. Every time you look for the feeling of prayer, you will give up. Prayer is not a certain high you have. God will allow you to feel his presence, don't get me wrong. But your discipline to pray draws God to fuel your devotion to him. Praise God. Because they anchored themselves in prayer, the Holy Spirit fueled their devotion to him. But secondly, the Holy Spirit guided them because they were anchored in prayer. Acts chapter 13, beautiful portion of scripture tells us in verse 2, that as they prayed and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set aside for me Paul and who? Saul and Barnabas. He guided them. In Acts chapter 1 verse 24, when the disciples were looking for someone to take the place of Judas, what did they do? It says, Lord, you know the hearts of Justus and Matthias. Who of them should be the one? And the Bible says they cast their lots, and what happened? It fell on Matthias. Every day, and we're going to get into a new series about spirit empowered discernment. Every day you need to be in the presence of God. Say, Lord, lead me today. Guide me today. As basic as guide me with which route I should take in traffic. In that business office, in that conference room, when you're going for that deal, you need to lean in on the Holy Spirit to guide you. And if you've cultivated a life of prayer, right there and then in the marketplace, you do not have to go to a corner to pray. Under your breath, you can say, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Nehemiah chapter 1 and Nehemiah chapter 2. When Nehemiah was before the king and the king said, what is going on? The Bible says that Nehemiah prayed while standing in front of the king under his breath. And God gave him wisdom. Let prayer become a way of life. Hallelujah. Not something we just do to tick a box. No, let it become a way of life. It is the lifeblood of your faith in Jesus. They anchored themselves in prayer. And their devotion was fueled, and they were guided by the Holy Spirit. But the third thing that happened for the church in the book of Acts is because of their devotion to prayer, is that they experienced divine breakthroughs. Now, I know this is the part people get excited about. Breakthroughs coming true. But it just doesn't show up. You must be devoted to seeking God for it. You see, unless you know that you have access to his throne, you will pray like a chicken. If you know that you know that your father is the president of a country, do you walk to him with fear? Okay, depending on your father, but if you have a relationship with your father and your father is good, do you walk with fear? You know, like, Dad, you know what? There's a deal. I need to walk over that side. I need that piece of land. We need that. And Dad is like, hey, have. How much money do you need? The bank is there open. Go, take. Because you have access. He trusts you. Breakthrough. In Acts chapter 5, not 5, beg your pardon, Acts chapter 12, they arrest James, brother of John, and he's beheaded. Then they arrest Peter and they throw him in jail. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 12, verse 5, and when Peter was thrown into prison, listen to these words, the church earnestly prayed. Key word is what? Earnestly. Sincerely. With deep conviction, prayed. I love the events that follow. While Peter is in his prison cell, maybe, I don't know, eating some sour grape. I have no idea what he's doing in there. But he's in that place and he's not knowing what's going on. An angel shows up and strikes him on the side. He wakes up. The angel tells him, walk out of this place. The doors of the prison cell open. The gates of the city open. And then he goes to the house where the believers were praying. And the house help or the housemaid or the maid servant comes, opens the door, sees Peter and like, this is a ghost. Closes the door. Tells the guys, there's a ghost out there that looks like Peter. So when they open this, Peter tells them, keep quiet. Otherwise, they will know. Listen, that divine breakthrough did not come because someone sat and crossed their legs, but because the church was praying. You see, let me put it this way. We're going to pray today. But this thing called Ebola, economy, some situations in our lives will only leave when we come together and say, God, enough is enough. The breakthrough you thought about is going to require an earnestness from the depth of your heart. And Lord, release. Paul and Silas were in jail in Acts chapter 16. All they did was praise God. And the prison, and then an earthquake was there, and the prison doors flung open. And when it flung open, the chains were let loose. Divine breakthrough. Through where? Honest prayer. I've noticed this one thing. We'll come to a prayer meeting and pray once and go away. Say, Lord, there was no breakthrough tonight. No, there was actually breakthrough, just that you stopped along the way. Go back home. Continue until it's established. What does the word of God say? We just read it in verse 23. Hold firmly to what you have believed, for he who promised his word, faithful. If God has given you a promise, pray through it until he establishes it. Problem is, we want quick fixes. Pastor, the anointing on you is heavy. You pray the Lord will answer you. He actually answers, but you miss it. You miss the blessing of experiencing God work in your life. Hallelujah. But finally, because they anchored themselves in prayer, they received power to fulfill God's mission. You see, ultimately, we're here on a purpose. We're here on a mission. Not my mission, not Pastor Joyce's mission. Not Gary's mission. Whose mission? God's mission. The church belongs to who? Jesus. He said in Acts 1 and 8, you will receive power to be my witnesses. When you read Acts chapter 2, verse 42 all the way to verse 44, it actually says, and the Lord did great miracles, signs and wonders through the apostles. If you go to Acts chapter 5, it talks about how God did great things, so much so that the Apostle Peter's shadow had power to heal. May I tell you this? I still believe in God for Acts chapter 5 to happen. Why does it have to be in the Bible only? Meanwhile, it's happening around the world. Eh? Yeah, just that we're not hearing them. It has to happen here. Yeah, you walk in there, you get slain by the Holy Ghost. Before you step in, get healed, go home. Is it hard? But we have to be anchored where? Prayer. Hallelujah. The things we want to see God change in our community. May I tell you, there are things I like to talk about. I'm trusting the Lord that one day, and it's going to happen. When, I don't know, but one day, I want to see a leg grow. Why shouldn't it? If he healed a man born lame, why shouldn't he give you a leg? Praise the Lord. Listen, friends. God has given us access. But it's up to you to walk through the door. It's up to you walk into the presence. He says it in verse 22. Let us therefore come with confidence into the presence. Hallelujah. We're actually going to take time to pray a little later on. But I thought I'd stir you up. Everything you and I need is found in the presence of God. But let me say this to you. This access is only granted to those who have faith in Jesus. His grace will answer your prayer if you're an unbeliever, that you may get born again. But living in the assurance of his presence requires a relationship with God. I'll use the example of the highest office in this country. To gain access to that place, there's many protocols. Think about it that way, that Jesus removed all protocol so that you can have direct access to the Father. The question is this: have you put your faith in Jesus who has given you that access? This gift is for you, not for me. Alone, rather. It's for all of us. Anyone who wants to access that place must come to the place of faith in Jesus. Because this ultimately, this access is for you to have a relationship with God. So I invite you, if you've never gained access into the presence of God because you've never put your faith in Jesus, would you put your faith in Jesus today? Would you bow your head for just a moment? And if that is you, you say, Pastor, help me. I'm making a decision right here, right now. A decision to put my faith in Jesus. Put up your hand. I want to be born again today. In person here, online, lift up your hand. You want to surrender your life to Jesus? Put it up. You want to get this access? Bless you. Someone is coming right where you are. Is there anybody else? Is there anyone else? Raise your hand up. A friend of ours is going to come to you up in the balcony, over in the overflow, online, on air. Raise your hand up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is there anybody else? Some of you are here and you want to recommit yourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. If you put up your hand, you can put it down. We have seen your hand. We'll take note of it. Just put it up when we take note of it. Some of you need to recommit yourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. You've never been, you've been born again, but you veered off track. But you say, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to the Lord. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The same sacrifice still remains sufficient for you. Put up your hand and say, here I am. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. Come back to him. Is there anyone like that? Raise your hand up. God loves you. All of this is that you might have a relationship with God, that you might be restored to God. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want us to pray with those that have lifted up their hands out in the overflow here in person and online. For those of you who are online, just put an emoji that says, here I am. I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm going to reach out to you as well. We'll give you further instructions. But for right now, let's pray together and encourage those that have lifted up their hands, shall we? Heavenly Father, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who made it possible for us to have access to your presence. Today, I surrender my life to Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. And help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, celebrate God for the lives that have come to faith in Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey.